Well, hello everyone. This is Pat Gregory, and there's Steve right across from me, and we do a show called Home Sweet Home every Friday at 11 a.m. here and at the Chamber of Commerce building in lovely Flemington. And while Steve is futzing with his mic here, getting ready, I'm just going to tell you that what we do... Can you hear me?
Can you hear me? There
yeah,
we are.
You're on. Okay, so all you're right. Mic 3.
I'm on mic 3.
Really?
Says mic 2, but
Steve,
we won't go into that. Yeah.
Do you want to do weather?
Yeah, let's do the weather.
All
hey,
right.
You know, let's get on with the show here. Hey, folks, today it's going to be a high of 46 and sunny. And that's a good thing. We have coming into the weekend Saturday, high of 35, low of 25. And it's going to be cloudy tomorrow, potential chance of rain. And then we have Sunday, we have all kind of sunny weather, high of 43, low of 22 in the evening. Monday through Wednesday, we're gonna truncate our forecast here because forecasts have not been very accurate lately. That's all I can say. So, hey, what can I say? So we got sunny and cloudy. That's covering both ends of the spectrum. For high of 42 on Monday, low of 33. Tuesday, we have a high of 49. By Wednesday, we are 54 degrees.
Again. I thought we were just getting this week, and we're going to go right into the frigid.
That's what I'm saying. You're reading
that correctly, right?
Yeah, I was just saying that. I'm reading
that wasn't
last
like
week.
Minus 54 degrees.
No, it's 54 degrees, a low of 44, and it's going to stay in the 50s through the rest of next week.
Woohoo!
I'm good. I don't have to go to Florida now.
Please,
all right.
No snow this year. No snow.
Yeah, no snow. I don't like snow. All right.
I'm gonna
hold my microphone, I think, somewhere here.
Do you want me? Well, we'll just play the one commercial we have to play, and then we're going to start off the show. So everyone, stay tuned.
Thank you.
Lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. Let me repeat, lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. This is not a crazy diet or exercise program, no drugs, hormones, or shots. You can lose 20 to 45 pounds in 40 days with Nutrimost Resonant Frequency Technology to measure 2,800 of your body's key biomarkers. Using NRF, they can find and correct the cause of your weight problem by measuring factors affecting weight gain, including metabolism, fat burning, fat storage, appetite, detoxification, and hormonal regulation. It's safe, fast, easy, and effective, and you won't walk around hungry or have cravings. It's even doctor supervised. Schedule a body composition analysis and consultation. You can be transformed in 40 days guaranteed. This is a limited time offer, so they can't wait to see you look great.
So call 888-718-7077. That's 888-718-7077. Or visit njthin.com. That's njthin.com.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to our show, Home Sweet Home, with Steve and Pat. Beautiful Friday, the 13th of January.
Okay.
And Steve, we have a, very special guest here
today. We have a super special guest. I'm excited you brought her. You know,
I keep asking for you,
Julie, and I just don't get it.
I'm here in the flesh.
I love it.
Welcome. I'd like to welcome my wife, Julie Gregory, Mrs. Taskman, to the show today. First time she ever dropped by the studio here, and we're really happy to see you here. And our show is going to be based around her today and what we're going to do.
Absolutely.
She's going to run the show.
Are you scared, Steve?
We're doing that.
Should I be?
We're doing a Q&A, so question and answer.
Q&A.
We're getting questions that are coming from texts and emails mostly.
Yes.
People asking us questions and commenting about our show, and we thank you very much for doing that, everyone. And before we go any further, if anyone wants to call, we have a telephone number. It's 908-237-0410. You can also reach us by email, and Steve, you're going to have to tell me what your email is because I don't know what it is.
It's brasstech@hotmail.com.
All right.
Or, yes, brasstech@hotmail.com.
And then mine is pat, P-A-T, at taskmanhandyman.com. So
right.
If you need to send us something, we could have your question brought up on one of the next shows that we do. But right now, we're going to get Julie basically to start asking us, firing away some questions, and we're going to be responsible for answering them. You think you're up for the task, Steve?
I'm starting to get nervous. I'm starting to feel some pressure, and I walk in here. I says, Julie, it's going to be great. Not a problem. We got the Gregory. It's good. Now I'm nervous.
I'll let you in on a secret. I read the questions.
Okay.
I think you got this.
You think I got this?
I think you got this.
All right, good.
I think you got this.
I'm glad to hear it. I'm excited to go for it.
So do we jump right in?
Oh, yeah. Have fun. Let's go for broke.
Our first question comes from Cindy in Flemington, New Jersey, right here, right where we are.
Thank you.
Hi, Steve and Cindy. Pat. I love listening to your show because you give some great advice. I liked the show when you talked about painting being a DIY project. Mm. Here is my question. Mm. When you paint the trim, is it better to use a small brush or a big one? Do I have to spend $10 for a brush, or can I use the 99-cent one?
Wow,
so, Steve, here's the scoop.
Okay.
I think I know the answers.
Then go for it.
Should I go for it?
Yeah, go for it.
And you guys can correct me?
Did you? In fact, I'm going to, before you give the answer, you've obviously painted trim.
Painted way too much trim in my life.
In fact, if I know you two and I understand the story correctly, you guys packed up a lot of bags and moved into places and painted a lot of trim in other places.
I have painted not only my own trim, but friends' trim.
We have a veteran. So shoot, give her the answer.
Here's what I'm going to say, and you guys can tell me if I got this right.
Good.
So it's about tools of the trade.
Yes, it
okay.
is.
Okay, so mm-hmm. you get what you pay for, mm-hmm. and my husband in 99.9% of the time is going to say, go for the $10 brush, it's the better hairs, and it won't leave bristles as you paint, because there's nothing worse than looking back an hour later and you left a bristle and now the paint's dry.
I hated that.
Right?
Over the years, I hated that.
Hate that. And it won't leave the really crappy paintbrush as well, right?
The
strokes. It'll leave you a nice, smooth surface.
Absolutely.
And about a small brush or a bigger brush, I think Patrick would say, Patrick's a good painter. I mean, he's not a painter for a living, but he's a good painter. And he's pretty familiar with a brush. And he would use the bigger brush with the nice cutting edge. To be able to get like a nice smooth without having to, you know, put the tape or anything like that.
So would he use the wedge or the blunt end? I mean, is it a straight edge or does it have an
angle?
No,
he would use the angled one.
That's called a sash brush.
To like cut
that's
in.
That's right. It is a sash brush.
But here's where him and I differ, I think, because he paints more. Mm-hmm. He's comfortable with the bigger brush. Mm-hmm. I would have a tendency to go for slightly smaller because I figure if I make a mistake, it's a smaller mistake.
Psychological.
And if I have latex paint, then with a little like wet rag, I can just erase my mistakes.
That's all done.
So how'd I do?
I think that's perfect.
That was really good.
That was excellent. That's excellent. That was perfect.
Right?
I'm not even sure I can add to that, can I?
Well, I don't think so. If you're wise and want to get back in the car, I wouldn't know. I play that safe for you. I'll throw a bone at you. I'll say not only do I agree with that, and I've done my share of painting too, but I'm not a sash brush guy. For some reason, being a lefty and being the seventh of seven siblings that's got a little less gray matter than most, you know, I actually like the blunt edge.
Yes.
And basically, I have a tendency, I'm a brush rocker. So I put the edge along my, and I'll do a little test run and work my way up to the cutting edge,
yes.
you know, where I want to cut.
Right.
And then I'll load my brush back clean it.
Yes.
Okay. So my paint is on my surface and there's nothing on the other side of that brush.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then run it.
Yeah.
And then I sweep away from my edge.
Yeah.
And I always pull down, creating my own edge.
Yeah. yeah.
And
totally with you.
And
probably some people you lost on the video here.
That was a little bit too much of an explanation.
I get it.
Okay. See, pros are amongst pros. And I just the bottom line is long story short is that I try not to paint.
Yes. That's what I try to do, too.
Great answer.
Yeah, that's why I know a couple of good painters.
Cindy, don't paint.
You know what? Stop now.
Steven, you'll understand this. The only problem with not painting is that sooner or later you have to at least paint your own house. If you're like me, you have certain pride, and you would not call in a painter to paint your own house.
No, I can't do it. I've been struggling with my renovations over that very issue, but we won't go there.
All right. You know. Should we go to number two?
Yep,
another
go for
question?
It. Yeah, absolutely.
Wow.
So this is Fred from Lambertville.
Okay.
Hello, Fred.
Gentlemen, what are your thoughts on plastic pipe for water supply lines? Isn't copper better? So, ooh. Steve, guess what?
What?
I think I know this answer, too.
Go!
Yeah.
Go!
She's
lit!
For the handyman.
Okay. All right.
She's
all right.
Lit.
So I don't think I got all of it, but here's what I'm going to tell you.
Okay.
If we're talking DIY,
yes.
Copper is difficult to deal with because now you got to sweat the joints.
Okay, let's put a bookmark right there.
Oh, am I talking?
No, there's nothing wrong you said so far.
We're just going to come back.
I know where he's going.
No, that's it. The point is I'll answer. You guys tell me where I go wrong.
No, you're good so far.
So I know I don't want to be handling a torch.
Agree.
Okay,
yes.
So
I
don't want to light a fire because there's a fire hazard. If you warm up that pipe too much and you go right through to the wood behind it, for example, if you're in a tight squeeze, you can light your house on fire.
So that's totally what Steve would say.
I don't want to
The alarm bells are going off.
I don't want to be dealing with that.
Exactly.
The other thing, too, with copper, not that you don't have to do it with plastic, but with copper, you also have to really know how, you have to know how to clean your pipes because the slightest little piece of grease
perfect.
Or anything like that, you're not getting a tight seal.
That's right.
Wow.
I'm
impressed.
And... You know, copper, depending on if your
this
water...
This chick's been around, man.
Copper, depending on if your water is hard or soft, can also you can also have some long-term kind of... It won't happen right away, but long-term you can have some issues.
Right.
So that's what I would say to a DIYer, like myself.
I think that's great. You're up, brother.
Okay. So I congratulate you. I feel very proud.
That, you should. His heart is full.
My wife has been... You know, listening to me all this time, and I didn't even know it.
or maybe to Mike Holmes.
Now it's coming out.
Here's my two cents.
We're going to be talking about that one in a while.
Let's go back right to the beginning and ask the question, is plastic pipe any good? And I would say if you're talking about the polyethylene, it's these kind of yellowish-looking pipe that you buy at, like, a home store and stuff.
I think that's why Fred asked the question.
Yeah. I would say steer totally clear of that kind of crap. I'm just going to call it crap. I'm sorry. That's not worth the 2 pennies you're going to pay for because sooner or later you're going to have a problem with it. It's going to burst. The glue joints, the whole stuff is just too rigid and it can actually snap on you. Now, if you're talking about the PEX stuff, which is the red and the blue ones now, they're color coordinated, you know, going back 5 to 10 years ago, it was just a plumber's domain, and us DIYers didn't have the tools necessary to be able to make the connections between one piece and another piece. But that has changed a lot with the technology, and it is doable for a DIYer to use that technology, which is excellent.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that is just as good or maybe might even be better than copper in one aspect.
Yeah.
But I would still say that copper is the gold standard here in North America, and that's, you know, that's a tried and true system.
Yeah.
And the hardest thing with that was always trying to sweat your joints with a torch and getting it to do exactly what Julie said.
Right.
But now that they have these new little Fandango shark bites, and there's another company out there that is
shark bites, gator grabs, gator teeth.
I have it on good opinion from some of my plumber friends that they work really well. Now, I never really trusted them, and I still don't know if I trust them, but I gotta give kudos. I mean, if the plumber's saying they work, then I'm not gonna say you lie, you know.
Yeah, right.
That is a great way for a DIYer to be able to do plumbing now with those connections that actually just click right onto the straight pipe.
That's right.
And you can do your turns and you can put valves on that and everything. So there is reason to use copper pipe if you can still.
Yeah.
Now,
I think I want to add to that because I think this is a good subject, Fred. I think you're gaming the system here. I'm trying to find out the best, most effective way to do it. All that said, Julie had it, Patrick has it. You can actually mix the PEX and the copper with the connectivity that you have today.
Yes.
You really can.
That's a
cost-effective way. If you're coming off copper, you can get these gator bites and you can snap 2 PEX, run your run, and reconnect with copper as you see fit. Talk to your plumbers. Go talk to your trade shops. But the answer to that is the only plastics I would guard you against is not only what Patrick – but anything that's PVC, if you use a PVC, it has to be a CPVC, and you have to have the proper connections. And frankly, they're outdated. I consider that outdated plumbing. So stay tight, stay cool. You're in the right track, but PEX and copper is the way to go. I think we're going to break for a commercial, are we?
I was just getting on a roll.
I know.
Well, it's well after 5 o'clock. I'm Bill Wolfson. It's 5:14 here on a beautiful Friday afternoon, January 13th. It's 45 degrees right now, and tonight with increasing clouds, we're going to see it drop to around 21. Low north wind, 5 to 10 miles an hour, becoming light after midnight. Saturday, hey, snow likely, mainly after 2 o'clock. That's good because I'm going to be working until 1:30. Cloudy with a high of near 32 degrees. Light and variable winds becoming south about 6 miles an hour in the afternoon. A chance of precipitation is 60%. New snow accumulation of less than 1/2 inch is possible. So let's not worry too much about the snow. Let's just be careful about driving. Saturday night, snow light likely again, mostly before 8 o'clock. Cloudy, low around 26, south wind about 6 miles an hour, becoming northwest after midnight. Chance of snow is 75%, and again, another 1/2 inch. Sunday, it's going to warm up for those of you who want to get out and walk in the snow. I don't know what the sledding is going to be like, though. Sunny with a high of near 37, so it sounds like we're going to be getting some slush. Northwest wind, 3 to 8 miles an hour. And Sunday night, partly cloudy with a low around 22. And you know what that means, folks. Black ice all over Hunterdon County. Monday, congratulations. It's Martin Luther King Day. Partially sunny with a high near 40. Hopefully some of you are off and won't be working. Monday night, we're in luck again. A chance of rain and sleet between 8 p.m. and 2 a.m. and then freezing rain and sleet after 2 a.m. Isn't that just great? Mostly cloudy with a low of around 31 with a chance of precipitation is 30%. Tuesday, lucky us, more freezing rain and sleet for 8 a.m. And then a chance of more rain. Mostly cloudy, high near 46, chance of precipitation is 40%. Tuesday night, more rain. Wednesday, more rain. Wednesday night, rain. Thursday, rain. I think Noah and Noah's Ark is probably not a bad thing to think about. And Thursday, a chance of rain. So, it looks like it's going to be a cloudy, rainy, snowy kind of January week. But we've got a lot of sports to talk about. I'm waiting for Pat Smits and John Manfreda to get here. I will tell you that today is Friday the 13th, and I'm trying to figure out why Friday the 13th is so much of a problem and why it's unlucky. I guess it's a matter of tradition and a matter of perhaps religion. I've read that there were 12 apostles or 13 apostles, but what do I know? I've heard all other cool kinds of things from different people who've talked about that, but that's got nothing to do with sports. So there's going to be no football in Mr. Rogers' neighborhood this weekend, but there will down in Dallas as the Dallas Cowboys host the Green Bay Packers, and that's going to be a really good game. 4:40 is kickoff on Sunday. I'm going to plan to be in front of my TV set after perhaps a quick visit to someplace like Sky Manor Airport, weather permitting, or perhaps even the Beneducci Winery. I'm also looking forward to trying to shake this cold. I don't know how many of you out there have colds, but it really plays havoc with your New Year's resolutions, doesn't it? To get fit, get your weight down, and things like that. But, you know, for those of you who are going to be hanging around tonight and watching TV, there's something really unique happening at the New York Rangers hockey game tonight. They're going to be playing Toronto Maple Leafs tonight. The Leafs' young American star, Austin Matthews, will be making his Madison Square Garden debut. And Madison Square Garden is the considered to be one of the premier arenas in the National Hockey League. And this guy, Austin Matthews, at age 19, is one of the National Hockey League scorers for the Maple Leafs. He's only 19 years old. He is going to step on the ice tonight. I'm looking forward to watching the game at 7:30, and I can tell you that Austin Matthews is one heck of a hockey player. He was drafted number one by the Leafs, and in his first game on October 12th, opening night, National Hockey League, he scored no fewer than 4 goals. So imagine breaking into the NHL with a hat trick and then one. 4 goals? Unheard of. 21 goals in his first 39 games, and he is tied for goals and points scored directly with the guy taken right after him, the Jets' Patrick Lane, for the most goals among rookies. So this is a real testament to the generation of hockey talent under 23 that's now on everybody's highlight reels. What's really interesting is that Austin Matthews is not a Canadian. He's an American, and he's not from New Hampshire, Maine, Vermont, or North Dakota. He's from Arizona, just like the Philadelphia Flyers. Shane Kotisbehere is from Florida. Who would have expected a hockey player that caliber to come out of a southern state? He's having fun. He wants to get better. He's one of 8 rookies who are starting for the Leafs. And hopefully Coach Mike Babcock, who came over from Detroit, will be able to turn him into part of a really good team. And hopefully the Leafs will start winning some cups. The last time the Toronto Maple Leafs won a Stanley Cup was 1967. I was a sophomore in high school here at Hunterdon Central. But Matthews is a big guy. His hands, speed, and his vision are only enhanced by the fact that he's 6'2 and weighs 216 pounds. He can really play hockey. He's an exciting guy to watch, so check him out. I believe he's wearing number 34 in the Maple Leaf blue, and he'll be stepping on the ice tonight at Madison Square Garden. So let's take a real good look at that. Meanwhile, while we're waiting for Pat and John and all the other ships at sea, let's hit that money button and play a few commercials for our sponsors.
At Crown Trophy of Flemington, we have thousands of products for you to choose from. Whether you're looking for trophies, plaques, or corporate awards, Crown Trophy of Flemington is your one-stop shop. We feature acrylic and crystal awards and promotional products for any occasion. We build and engrave all awards right on site, and we're a leading supplier of varsity jackets for local sports teams. We provide quality customer service and great pricing. Crown Trophy of Flemington is conveniently located in the Staples Shopping Center in Flemington. Crown Trophy of Flemington, we're trophies and a whole lot more.
I'm your eyes remain, stop me when I'm passing by.
It's time to visit Pambi's, the newest ice cream shop in town. Pambi's Purely Delicious Ice Cream, Gelato, and Sorbet, made in Hunterdon County from unique blends of natural extracts, herbs, and spices. Created with a rich, creamy texture bursting with flavor. Tickle your palate with exotic flavors such as rose cardamom, hot mango, and ginger lemon. Or satisfy your craving for dark chocolate, pecans, and caramel. Located on Route 31, south of Clinton. Pambi's. Purely delicious.
This is Tony Clark, para planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms. When they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Well, folks, we have a new sponsor, Pambi's, and let me tell you, their ice cream is good. I've already had their mango ice cream, one of my favorites. I love tropical flavors. And hang in there, folks. Even if it's the weather's not great, Pambies is going to be there. And check them out. They're well worth it. Meanwhile, we've got a whole weekend of playoff football, starting with the Seahawks and the Falcons on Saturday. It's not an easy decision to decide whether to bet against the Seahawks for their ineptitude on the road or against Matt Ryan because of his overall postseason failure after failure. I think the smart move is to back Seattle, even though the Falcons are rested and healthy. The real question is whether they can play with the Seahawks because they lost narrowly to them in Week 6 at CenturyLink Stadium. You may remember that one of the refs missed a pass interference call late in the fourth quarter. Russell Wilson's probably going to make some plays, and the rest of his team may very well most likely keep those Seahawks flying against the Falcons. Although the smart money has the Falcons winning by a point, 28-27. Meanwhile, we've got Texans at Patriots. Now, who's better, Tom Brady or Jacoby Brissett? We'll figure that out Saturday night in Foxborough when the Patriots and the Texans have their rematch. Brissett helped engineer a 27-0 crushing of Houston in Week 3. Brady is going to beat that margin of victory, and we'll have to see what happens. Meanwhile, as you know, Brady and Belichick are not among my favorite heroes. They're heroes at all in the NFL. But on the other hand, I think the Patriots are going to make this game a laugher after the second quarter. So for those of you who want to eat dinner on Saturday night, I think that you need to see the first half, and then you'll probably have had enough. And you can just sort of cast an eye over your dinner plate at the TV and see how things are going. But my guess is Patriots 34, Texans 6. Steelers-Chiefs. Now, here's an interesting game. I usually buy into the Steelers and the Steelers hype, even though I am, and I'll be honest, an Andy Reid fan. The Killer Bees, Ben Bell and Brown, were brilliant. Steve Seal Curtin is usually crushing, but the terrible towel waivers that came at home against a backup quarterback and just a so-so defense couldn't walk the walk. So now Pittsburgh has to go into Arrowhead Stadium, where Alex Smith isn't going to turn the ball over three times, and freezing rain is going to make it real tough to pass and harder to run. Mike Tomlin, I think, is a good coach, but he thinks he's going to win. But the smart money, once again, has the Chiefs 23, Steelers 20. Now, the Steelers are my brother-in-law Lance's favorite team. And because I like my brother-in-law a great deal and want him to be happy and lazy and sit around Sunday afternoon goofing off instead of having my sister-in-law tell him what to do, I'm hoping the Steelers win. I think the Steelers are going to win by a field goal at the least. Mr. Rogers is going to be out of his neighborhood, but hopefully in his element as the Cowboys host the Green Bay Packers. Cowboys' amazing super rookie quarterback Dak Prescott is going to be out of his regular season comfort zone. So we're going to see how he does in a real playoff game against a real opposition. The Packers are healthy. They've gotten back to what I call Packer form. They showed it by a very convincing thumping of the New York Giants over last Sunday. And to be honest with you, I was embarrassed for the Giants in the fourth quarter. It was a game the Giants could have won, but I don't know what happened. The defense didn't look good. They couldn't really stop the Green Bay run. They didn't play good pass defense. They allowed Randall Cobb to catch a Hail Mary pass in the end zone right as time was running out at the end of the first half. And I think that took the wind out of their sails or the air out of their balloon and put a big hole in a sheetrock wall in Lambeau Field Many thanks, Odell Beckham, all of us, all of those of you out there who are sheetrock contractors in the Green Bay area. There's your new commercial for next week or next month, should you decide you want to be an advertiser or sponsor of us sports guys. It's getting near time for the news, so let's hear what's going on in the real world.
The House Financial Services and Economic Security Committee has announced that the House Financial Services and Economic Security Committee has announced that the House Financial Services and Economic Security Committee has announced that the House Financial Services and Economic Security Committee has announced that the House Financial Services and Economic Security Committee has announced that the House Financial Services and Economic Security Committee has announced that the House Financial Services and Economic Security Committee has announced that the House Financial Services and Economic Security Committee has announced that the House Financial Services and Economic Security Committee has announced that the House Financial Services and Economic Security Committee has announced that the House Financial Services and Economic Security Committee has announced that the House Financial Services and Economic Security Committee has announced that the House Financial Services and Economic Security Committee has announced that the House Financial Services and Economic Security Committee has announced that the House Financial Services and Economic Security Committee has announced that the House Financial Services and Economic Security Committee has announced that the House Financial Services and Economic Security Committee has announced that the House Financial Services and Economic Security Committee has announced that the House Financial Services and Economic Security Committee has announ
episodes that have characterized Jason Chaffetz's tenure as chairman, of that committee.
USA Radio News.
Have you tried to grow your hair out and it just won't grow? That was me. It would never really grow further than my shoulders.
It was thin and yucky and broke off. My brush was full of hair.
The solution for me was Ovation.
It's a unique breakthrough treatment found in no other hair care line.
I have to be honest with you, my mom has never seen my hair my whole life this long.
What is it like now?
It's a lot healthier looking and it feels differently. It's more silky. The consistency is a lot healthier. All right, so money back guarantee, so you have really no risk.
94% of Ovation customers are like me. They would recommend Ovation Hair Salesperson to get the hair you've always wanted. Just go to ovationhair.com.
Hey, we're due for some bad weather tomorrow. Sunday ought to be nice and cheery. And the rest of the week is going to be pretty crummy, starting with Monday, Martin Luther King Day. Now, I'm working because I have to. And because in my work, you don't get a whole lot of days off. But I'll tell you who has been taking too many days off, and that's our Philadelphia Flyers, folks. After a real red-hot November and December where they won 10 straight games, they've now dropped 6 of 8, and although they're now in the last NHL wild card spot, we've got some problems in Philadelphia. To be completely frank, the goaltending hasn't been good the last month. Secondly, we've got a real problem where there's been a scoring drought, although they did beat a depleted Tampa Bay Lightning team 4-0, and they managed to squeak out an overtime shootout win against the Vancouver Canucks, a team I always like to watch lose because there's just something about the Vancouver Canucks that irritates me, and I can't figure out what it is. We've already talked about the New York Ranger game tonight. They're hosting the Leafs and that great young man, Austin Matthews, 19 years old, and he's one of the leaders in the NHL in scoring. An amazing young guy. And good afternoon, Patricia Packer Garrity Smits.
Oh, well, good afternoon. How are you doing?
So 19 years old. That's amazing. Where is he from?
Austin Matthews at 19 years of age. And strangely enough, he's from Arizona, not from Toronto. Yeah. Look at number 34 if you get any of the Madison Square Garden TV channels. The Rangers are playing tonight against the Leafs in Madison Square Garden. He's a phenomenal hockey player. He skates well. He scores a ton of goals. He's leading. He's right up there with Sidney Crosby and another rookie. for the most goals in the NHL right now. He's an exciting young man.
Well, he must be because what's his background to be that good, that young? Most of these kids are right out of high school and playing in.
He's 19.
What do they call it, the juniors?
He never really played junior hockey. He was drafted. He was drafted, I think, right out of a college. And, you know, 21 goals in 39 games. And he's directly tied with the guy who was taken ahead of him in the NHL rookie draft, the Jets' Patrick Lane. Now, Patrick Lane did something very cool last weekend. He gets a birthday card invitation from some 8-year-old kid in Winnipeg. Who just decides, I like watching this guy play. I'm going to send him a birthday invitation. So, Saturday afternoon, it's 5 hours before game time. Who shows up at this kid's door for his 8-year-old this 8-year-old kid's birthday but Patrick Lane?
Oh, you know what? That's terrific. It's like I mentioned when we were in the at Lambeau, and happened to go out to eat the night before, and we were with our grandson, who's a Cowboy fan. And I'm telling you, when Witten, he saw him, and when Witten actually asked my grandson, Dylan, if he wanted a picture taken with him, rather than the other way around, Dylan was just standing there, you know, in awe of his favorite football player of his. You know, that goes such a long way. And it used to be so common. And I think now I understand why the players feel like they're put upon. And I do understand that sometimes these kids were getting autographs and then their parents were selling them. But that kind of thing is so amazing.
Well, you know, it's a funny thing. In the 80s and the early 90s, Flyers, and not just the hanger-on kind of guys, but guys like Eric Lindros, would routinely roam the halls of Children's Hospital of Philadelphia, giving out Flyer Beanie Babies and talking to some really sick kids.
I think they still do that.
Yeah.
That's the kind of thing that many
hockey players like to do that.
But not only that, football players, and they all have certain charities, et cetera. But to do something, you know, like, you know, pull a kid out of the crowd and say, do you want your picture taken with me? Or better yet, showing up at somebody's 8th birthday.
Isn't that cool?
That is just really cool.
Yeah, I love it when professional athletes do that. What it means is that they do care about their fans, they care about their public, and they're, you know, I always say most pro athletes are big kids at heart, especially the hockey players. We have our exceptions, though, but we won't mention any of them on the air because it's a family show.
And today is Friday the 13th, and at least I finally made it here. I do apologize. I had somewhat of an emergency. Of course, John, who told me, absolutely promised me he would be here early. And for our listeners, it's too bad you're not viewers because we have the perfect cheesehead decorated with a Green Bay Packer Beanie Baby and beads for John to wear during the program.
And
that's why he's not showing up. And Bill bought
genuine Wisconsin cheese, 1 pound.
The problem, Bill, is what you really could have done to top it off is go over to the farmer's market, because the farmer's market is the only place that I know of that sells Limburger cheese. And Limburger cheese is the only, it's only made in Wisconsin. The only place that makes Limburger cheese is in, right outside of Madison. I think it might be Monroe, Wisconsin. And I don't know about you, but if you've ever had Limburger cheese, I have no idea who eats it because it is, I'm trying to think of a polite word.
Disgusting.
Disgusting. I was just going to use that word. I mean, that would be, I'm thinking about it now, you know, that would be something to take to a Packer game because you've been to the Packer games and
sure.
The seats are so small, especially in the winter when you have a lot of clothes on. You stand up to cheer and you go to sit down and there's no room. And I'm not talking about somebody who's 250. I'm talking about a 100-pound woman is going to have a hard time sitting back down.
Yeah, but she's wearing 50 pounds of clothes.
Well, that's true. Everybody is. But maybe Limburger cheese might be an answer.
I don't know. I think Limburger cheese is as disgusting as my least favorite traditional food, gefilte fish, or that Norwegian delight of all things, lutefisk, which I think is some kind of fish jelly. I don't know how people eat these things. But I had a father-in-law who loves scrapple, and that's everything from the pig except the oink.
Well, have you talked about the playoffs?
We've talked just a little bit. I have merely scratched the surface, but I know there's no football in Mr. Rogers' neighborhood this weekend. So, Pat, why don't you give us our prediction? How are the Packers and their defense with a healthy Clay Matthews and a very talented Ha-Ha Clinton Dix going to stop Dak Patterson?
Well, I think I really think he is a very good quarterback. I think he has a lot of protection. There's still a lot of injuries in the Packers. I was looking through the roster as to who's injured. And although Matthews is back, actually, if you really watched the last game, I was just so happy to see everything that Peppers was doing, because, of course,
Julius Peppers played a great game against the Giants.
He really did.
But I have to ask, Jordy Nelson, is he going to play? He's got two broken ribs.
Well, not only that, I don't know if you saw that hit. It was an illegal hit. In fact, John and I have been back and forth.
I saw the emails going back and forth about that.
Well, he was complaining about the refs, how he thought they favored the Packers. But Jordy Nelson clearly was an illegal hit. Not only did he break ribs, but he had a collapsed lung. So
that's extremely painful.
You could see him on the sidelines. I mean, they started playing the game while he was still on the ground, on the sidelines, unable to move, unable to get up. And this is not a wimp, believe me.
But let me ask a question. We've got some games coming up.
If there's any possibility of him playing, but the one thing that was so apparent is apparently the receivers don't wear much padding.
No,
because I saw that helmet, and it looked as if the guy would go right through it. I mean, that's how you could almost see his ribs cracking.
Well, that's always a tough thing to watch on TV. I did see the hit. I've been under the weather for about the last 10 days, so I'm watching football, but I'm not watching it in the way that I like to, which is critically and about 3 feet from a huge screen so that I can see everything. Mostly I've been lolling around on the couch drinking tea and sucking on cough drops. But I can tell you that we've got some great football coming up this weekend. So, Pat, who do you like Saturday? Falcons over the Seahawks? I think the dirty seabirds, managed to come out from under this. And I don't think Matt Ryan is a postseason kind of guy. What do you think?
Well, I'm hoping the Falcons will somehow beat the Seahawks. But
you're not a Russell Wilson fan.
Russell Wilson. Well, no, I like Russell Wilson, actually. He played for Wisconsin.
Hey, he's got a Super Bowl ring. He was 8-3 in the postseason.
Yeah. I mean, Wilson is a really very good quarterback. And I guess I don't like the Seahawks because of...
And we have an unexplained John Manfreda sighting. He had the nerve to wear his Giants stuff. But let's show John, since you are... I don't want to call you the birthday boy, but I'll call you the Giant fan of the week. Let's see what we got here for John. First of all, John's wearing his Giants hat, a blue Giants sweater, a white polo shirt underneath, and he is not too chagrined. But in front of John is a rotating Green Bay Packer helmet.
It's not rotating, Bill. It's shaking its head no. Which may be a premonition for the game, but go ahead.
There's a Green Bay Packer beanie baby covered with green deed
Correct.
Beads and a giant cheese head and, to add to the cheesiness of the moment, a block of Wisconsin cheese.
That's correct. And what? It is from Ivy's Untreat Reserve. It is, I can't tell.
It's Wisconsin cheese.
Oh, Ivy's.
And it was from Bill. I mean, he's also...
Oh, my God. So, they're popping on a little bit. Well, yeah.
Hey, I was going to wrap it in Jets wrapping paper, but unfortunately, we had used up the roll.
Okay. Anyway, good to see you both.
We're back for another year.
Yes, it is 2017, first show for me anyway.
And for me.
And we've been kind of the walking wounded. Yeah, well, everybody's been under the weather.
I would have been able to do the show last week, Pat. I would have croaked. You would have thought I was
right,
a frog.
Right now, Pat's the lone gunman standing with her team, and I do have a few comments on that.
Well, remember, it's not being played in Mr. Rogers' neighborhood.
It is not. You know, and your first thought with this game is that the Cowboys will just run the ball. They have to run the ball. You're not going to put the game in Dak Prescott's hands with Aaron Rodgers on the other sideline. So
you don't expect a gunfight.
Well, they're expecting a lot of points to get scored in this game. I think the over-under is almost 60. They're really expecting a lot of points here. And people are just stunned how, you know, in the last 33 minutes of the Giant-Packer game, the Packers scored 38 points. Of course, seven of them came on the Hail Mary. But, you know, it's Nelson is out. You do have some decent run stoppers on the Green Bay defensive line, but that's not their forte. And so Dallas's best chance, obviously they'll be good on special teams. Their defense has really overplayed. It's not a great defense. It's a good defense, but it's better than anybody thought it was going to be this year. But the major thing is if they can have long, sustained drives and don't turn the ball over, it's going to be a tough, could be a long day for the Packers. That's really the only hope.
I'm worried that if they keep the defense on the field too long, that will be a problem. I mean, there are too many injuries. I don't think Clay Matthews is back yet.
I think that could be an issue. But quite frankly, if Rodgers is playing at the level that he's played the last couple weeks, I don't know that anybody can stop that.
Oh, no,
and
I
agree. It won't matter. He's just finding open receivers and putting the ball. I mean, he gets a window of it 6x6, 17, 20 yards away, and sticks it right in there. I mean, throws against the Giants, and a lot of them on the run. And some of those throws, as he was making the play in my mind, I'm saying, no way. Can't do it. Can't go. All of a sudden, you know, a Packers coming down with the ball. I think he had, by the fourth quarter, had the Giants shaking their heads, really. Like, how do you stop this?
Yeah,
the guy is so
phenomenal.
Precise, like a laser beam. How do you stop that right now? And it was just on a roll. And the Giants' defense wasn't playing all that bad. They just couldn't stop it.
Oh, I thought, and you know, when the game started, I mean, I have to tell you, that first quarter, I mean, it was like Harris ran, you know,
up till 3 minutes to go.
Yards.
They sacked. Now, my version of this
Cruz
is that
17 yards. I mean, they were just
if Beckham had not dropped. Well, the first one in the field would have been a first down, but the one in the end zone, I think he was interfered with, and that should have been a first down on the 1 yard line. But what? What, in my view, turned the tide was they sacked Rodgers. I either sacked him or hit him four times in the first. Okay, suddenly they never got close to him again.
Well, you know, it was a concern of mine when I started.
Well, let me finish my thought before we get to your concerns. It was clear that he started running around back there, and there was holding on every play, and Green Bay got the call. Other referees would have called that different. It was a day that I still think if the Giants play the Packers 10 games, the Giants win 7 of those games.
On that day.
That just everything they had going against them. They didn't catch the ball. Well, the receivers didn't play. It was very cold. They didn't play well there. But defensively, that defense is as solid as you have in football. They sacked them four times. Then suddenly, the last 35 minutes of the game, they can't get within 10 feet of them.
Well,
how does that happen? It's because they were being held.
Well,
and the Giants weren't getting the calls.
You know, I disagree, but let me tell you what my concern was the first quarter You know, McAdoo was the quarterback coach
sure.
in Green Bay. And I really thought that maybe he had Rodgers' number.
Yep, a little bit.
Because if you looked
yep.
at that first quarter, frankly, if it hadn't been from, you know, for Beckham, they would have been ahead by
probably. It should have been 14-0. Should have been four, not six. It should have been 14-0. That and the Hail Mary, again, as I told you before, you know, I don't think there's – Pat seems to think there's a rule that there's no penalties called on Hail Mary because Cobb pushed off and then he got the ball. He was there was nobody around.
Something, it wouldn't have mattered because although Cobb may have pushed off, and I did see incidental contact, you know, it's a jump ball at that point. But he also – he didn't, but his push off didn't matter because he stepped back that 18 inches that let him jump for that ball. That ball was heading out of the end zone had he not made that foot high jump that he made. I think that, you know.
And they could have made there that was no jump.
They could have passed interference on every one of those.
Yeah, and there
plays.
Was no question. I think there were a couple guys, and they all thought the other guy had it or whatever. But, those were the things that changed the time of that game. You play that game again, I guarantee you that doesn't happen again.
Okay,
and
so
you
your
get
point,
a very
John,
different result.
To your point, John, is you take the Packers of last week, you take the Giants of last week, and you put them in the stadium where the Miami Dolphins play, and the outcome is different.
Without Ed Hockerway, with a better referee.
Better referees, and the game is different.
But that's the game. That's the
football.
Way the game is
but
played.
I got a point for you. What is it with Odell Beckham? He's... juggles balls, he can't catch it.
He's trying to run so fast, but all he has to do is secure the catch and then whatever he gets after the catch. But the problem, I think, Bill, best answer I can give you is that he puts so much pressure on himself. He thinks he has to take every ball to the house because otherwise they're not going to score. You know, the Giants offensively this year, at the start of the year, everybody had them as a top 7 to top 10 offense, and they just didn't perform that way. Obviously, the running game early in the year was bad. The offensive line was bad, and they got much better as the season went along. But with Beckham, I think – part of the problem is he's running before he makes the catch, or he's trying to make something on every play because he thinks he has to. And I think what they've got to correct with him is just make the good catch. Not every catch has to be a highlight reel catch, and you don't have to score 6 points on every ball.
But that first catch should have been a catch. I mean, that first one that he
that
missed,
was a very catchable
three
ball.
No
five,
question, yeah.
You know,
yeah,
he was yeah. – third down, 5 yards.
But those, again, it was a game of inches, and we've all seen games turn the other way. No place more than in football. Do you see, you know, one team is maybe a couple of points better than the other, a couple of players here and there, relatively even, but given the temperature or the wind or maybe a call here or there, a hold that was missed. Football, it's why it's the toughest game to call and why people are struggling so much to call this Dallas-Green Bay game Sunday because it could turn on a turnover. It could turn on a bad call, a drop ball. The game, I think, is that close.
Well, you know, I was even going to give Beckham, you know, a pass on that first catch because I thought, well, you know, it's the first – it's the first.
It was early in the game.
Well, it was the first
thrown to him.
First ball, and I thought, well, maybe it was cold. But then remember, the Giants went back, kicked way down. Packers did nothing, and then the second one, when he had a chance, that was only the second drive where he had a chance.
He was in the end zone.
Pick it up in the end zone, that one.
If from one angle it looks like there was a hand in there early that he was interfered, it was a marginal call. I mean, I'm not going to kill the ref because he didn't make that call. Other refs might have called that pass interference first down on the one, and it's a 10-0 game. But again, you had every game has 4 or 5 seminal moments. That one, for whatever reason, all of those moments went the Packers' way, and they won the game. And they wound up winning going away because, in my view, again, I think you had – it looked like two totally different ball games. The first 27 minutes – Rogers running for his life. After that, they never got close to him. To me, part of it is they made great adjustments and McAdoo was out coached. But a lot of it was there was holding that wasn't called.
I can tell you that Green Bay made excellent adjustments.
They made some good ones. No question.
And you'll notice that on offense, in the offensive line, the offensive tackles lined up about 3 inches off the line and about a foot closer to the offensive center in the second half than they did in the first half, and dropped back immediately to protect Rodgers. I like to watch offensive linemen because I think if you watch the guards and the tackles, that's where you know where the play is going. And if you watch how they position themselves just before the ball is snapped when they know they can't move, you'll notice that there were no false starts on the Packer offensive line in the second half, whereas in the first half there were two. And that hurt a couple of drives.
I think those are good points, Bill.
So, you know, when you look at the offensive linemen and you begin to think, well, you know, they know where the play's going and it's too loud to audible, I think, in a game like that, particularly in Lambeau where it is noisy down on the field.
Yeah, but it's not nearly as noisy in Lambeau as it is
Seattle,
in
so many. Not in Seattle, certainly. But
Seattle, Minneapolis.
I watched these guys very carefully between the first half and the second half. In the first half, the blocking schemes were not picking up the Giants. I mean,
oh, the Giants in the backfield, they got penetration. They were there. Second half, they weren't getting that. And, you know, part of it, I think, was some great adjustment by the Packers. But a lot of it, I just think, were the non-calls that they were getting.
And the other thing you should know.
And because I think, Bill, the point I'm really making is when Rodgers is dancing around back there, the referees are naturally, they're looking at that. They're not looking at the holding that's taking place. Oh, there goes Rodgers. Oh, lefty turned, and so it sort of mollifies all the bad offensive line play because you're focusing on a guy rolling out and then spinning out of the pocket and cocking his arm, getting ready to throw. And the refs are looking at that. They just weren't looking. They say, oh, that really wasn't a – in their minds, that really wasn't a hold because he moved away from that pressure.
Yeah, but what about all the guys that were – the reason he had to take 8 and 9 seconds to throw the ball
was the coverage.
Was, yeah, so many of those guys were holding.
Well, they were the holding cameras, the receivers. The camera's not on the secondary, so well, I don't know. What do you base that on? We don't see that.
And that's part of the problem. You don't always see that. That's one of the reasons I like to go to games, because you really
get a
view of what's happening. But you know that Rodgers wasn't throwing, and he was taking 8 and 9 seconds because of the coverage, including very possibly illegal coverage. Because there was my sense of that game is the refs weren't calling a lot of stuff.
Right.
You know, some
right.
of the games.
And that inward to the Packers. The Giants are more of a precision team. If you have a closely called game where they're going to call stuff, that's going to favor New York. And this game. That it just favored the Packers. They were going to let them play. Somebody said one of the guys got hit.
Favor the Packers. They both had the equal opportunity.
But you know something.
Of not getting.
No, I just think that the style of play and it lent itself better to what Aaron Rodgers does as opposed to Eli.
Maybe no, but you will notice a lot of blown coverages by the Giants' defensive back.
Now, all year they gave up big. They have the second best defense, but they gave up the second most big plays. That is true. When they were bad, they were real bad. When they made a mistake, it was a big mistake.
Look, I'm going to tell you right now, they were almost as bad as the Jets or the Eagles when it came to giving up big plays. And I think the Eagles led the league in big plays of 60 yards or more or 40 yards.
And the Giants were right up there, too.
And
that's right.
Jets.
But you get that part of it, Bill. I think with the Eagles, you have really bad corners. With the Giants, their scheme sometimes lends itself to that because their scheme is to commit to an area. They play a lot of zone, and if you're wrong, then you're exposed right. and sends a big play. And again, so that's just scheme. But to Pat's point, I do think the secondary was roughing up the Packer receivers. No question about that. But, I mean, again, it's the question is you get 9 seconds back there on almost every play, and you have the defensive line have, I think, the second most sacks in the league. It just doesn't add up to
me. But you also had to see it wasn't that he was just standing there.
No, he was.
Look at all the people he outran. Look at all the guys who tried to tackle him who were not able to. I mean, there were a lot
was no
of
question.
Missed tackles.
Yeah, no question.
Of Rodgers, because he's very elusive, and I think that was a game where he really shone. I mean, there have been other games where he hasn't. Now, my concern this week is, you know, they're now able. The Cowboys are able to strategize a game where they don't have to worry about Jordy Nelson. Now, obviously,
that's a big one. That's no question.
That's a big loss, no doubt about
it. And obviously, the Giants. We're taking that into consideration, and now the Packers have one less receiver,
one less weapon, but I really think is they've got to figure out a way to stop the run. They're probably going to have to put 7 men in the box, well, 8 you know, at times, to stuff the run.
And
the question is going to be, can Dak hit his receivers? If Dak can hit a few big plays, the Packers are going to struggle.
Look. My big worry has been that Dallas establishes a running game real early, and then Dak Prescott starts eating up what I think.